Our speaker today is, I won't say an old friend of Unity of New York, a long time friend of Unity of New York. He really needs no introduction, but if you want to read his bio, it's in the bulletin. Please welcome, with your hearts open and your minds poised for a beautiful experience, Mr. David Freeman.
Just did my whole talk. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So, I'd like to make this first song a meditation. So, close your eyes and listen to the words and the music and see how it filters through your self, through your history, through your soul. Something happened a very long, long time ago, though my mind could not remember, my body does. Someone hurt me, but I was too afraid to know how it happened, when it happened, or who it was. But something deep inside of me, a vague and distant memory, kept telling me, don't run from me. Don't fear me. And through the passing months and years, the more I tried to close my ears, it whispered through my unshed tears, please hear me. Something happens from way down deep inside my soul. Frightening feelings and sensations come unbidden. And this sickness that I have struggled to control won't release me, won't keep quiet, won't stay hidden. But if I listen carefully, that little voice inside of me says, bring me to the light and don't conceal me. I'm a long forgotten part of you, the part that holds what you've been through. So what I'm asking you to do is feel me. I know it seems like I'm the enemy who stealthily and violently attacks you unawares. But oh no, if you could really look at me, you'd understand that I can be the answer to your prayers. There are answers in the pain we're feeling now, in the buried traumas of the past that bind us. There are people who can help and show us how to release the fear and leave that past behind us. So though it deeply frightens me, I know that there are truths to see and doors I must unlock to be the real me. So I'll turn around and face the past. I'll face it till I'm free. At last, I'll cry all my tears, I'll feel all my fears, I'll say every word till each one is heard, and let the truth that I have feared heal me. Jane Doe No More, which helps women and men to come to terms with sexual abuse that they didn't remember. I realized that although I didn't personally have that kind of abuse that I know of, each of us has a history. Things inside of us, feelings of hurt and pain and anger and frustration. Often from long ago that we wrestle with and sometimes have trouble reconciling with our faith and spirituality, our sense of who or what God is and how God figures into all of this. And so often, when we try to express these things around unity, or when people express them to us, we very quickly move to some positive spiritual response, informing others or ourselves why we should be grateful, why we should give more if we want to receive more, how it's all good because God is present in everything, and how everything is in divine order. And of course, these things are true. And these principles are the way the universe works. And a connection with God and spirit, whatever we want to call it, is truly the path to freedom and abundance and serenity. But when I'm feeling angry or sad or hurt, or failures or obstacles that have haunted me for my entire life keep repeating, and I get this kind of advice, I often feel like a step has been skipped and I can't get hold of the spiritual principles because my pain or my upset has not been heard and has not been processed. So when someone responds to, I've had this very upsetting thing happen with, all is in divine order, I kind of want to punch them. So, when Elizabeth Morris spoke here a few weeks ago, she spoke at our church in Norwalk the following week, and she mentioned spiritual bypass. My ears perked up. She talked about how life contains suffering, and that is a part of life, and has to be included and tended to, not just passed over or gotten rid of. And as I thought about it over the following weeks, I began to remind myself and remember something that I've always instinctively known, and in fact, it's something that is the reason I developed my thought exchange work. Our suffering, our pain, our frustration, rather than being something that has to be overcome or gotten rid of, is an intrinsic part of our growth, our healing, and our path to enlightenment. And it needs to be embraced, shared, worked with. But how do we work with our own pain without either suppressing it or splaying it out on others, emphasizing and increasing it? And how do we work with the pain and challenges of others without pitying them, without agreeing with them, and yet without bypassing their challenges by going directly to spiritual advice? The answer, which has already been referred to in several moments this morning, is empathy. Empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone, so by definition, it makes the person with the problem less than. Sympathy often allows us to disidentify with the other person's problem. It protects us from feeling the feelings they're feeling, and often isolates them under the guise of being supportive. We're trying to obliterate what's going on, instead of being with it. In empathy, we hear someone else's problem and we feel it within ourselves. And by doing so, we not only allow the person experiencing the issue to be seen and heard, but in addition, we create the experience that we are all human. We are all the same. Someone's problem or challenge isn't bad. It doesn't need to be fixed. It just is. Sometimes in unity and in life, in our effort to help or apply spiritual principle, we skip empathy and go right to solution. The challenge with this is that the feelings and the upsets are not recognized and processed. They either go underground and fester, only to come up later in another way, or the person experiencing them has to resist principle and prove why they should feel this way. Often the person will feel compelled to make up a story about how horrible it is. We'll try to talk them out of it, they'll dig in, and we're off and running. If we simply, on the other hand, mirror what the person is saying without judgment, without fear, we leave the door open for spirit to work. Even if the person is saying how horrible something is, we don't have to agree with them. We can know and hold that spiritual principle is true, but rather than trying to fix them, we can look past the story and empathize with why they're feeling compelled to tell it and tell it that way. Saying something along the lines of, I can feel how upset you are, wow, that's difficult, along with a hug or just sitting and listening, allows the upset to be processed. And only then can we begin to hand it over to spirit. Saying something like, you know that's not the truth and you need to find the positive words to say it, has never worked for me. What has worked for me is I see that you've used that word, and although that's not spiritually true, tell me why you chose that word. Now, as many of you know, I live with a minister. Which is wonderful. We're not supposed to say but. And we have this discussion because I will say something like, everything in my life is crap. And he'll say, now, is that true? I mean, I don't know how many of you know Sean. He's going to kill me for telling you this, but Sean is very literal. When we got together at the beginning, I would say, guess what? And he'd say, how could I possibly guess what? I would say, you're never going to believe this. And he'd say, you don't know if I'm going to believe it or not. So, it's one of his strongest things that he hears things literally. He really hears the words. But if I say my life is crap and Sean says, no, use a different word, we have discussed and we work on it. Ask me why I called it crap. What am I feeling that I chose that word? We know that word is not literally true. But in empathy, we go, you're feeling something that is making you express it that way. Tell me about it. Then, when he does that, because I now know he cares, I can care about what he knows. Otherwise, I'm just, you don't understand me. I have to prove to you, no, in my case, it really is crap, and I'm going to show you why. Each of us, no matter how much spiritual work we've done, has times when we forget. And at those times, it's crucial that other people around us hold the space until we remember. A friend of mine likes to say, thank God we're not all crazy on the same day. But since all of us have experienced being crazy at one time or another, let's remember what that's like and not judge when someone else around us is going through that. Or to be more realistic, of course, judge. We judge. We're not going to not judge. But don't let your judgment lead the way, because if you do, you're just limiting and judging yourself. You're taking away permission for another person to have something that you also have and might need. Recently, I had a wonderful experience where someone really handled me beautifully, and I was able to reach new spiritual understanding because I was first heard and then given spiritual advice after that. I was at a speaking engagement in Atlanta, and I stayed at the house, or rather the mansion, this guy really is an abundant guy, of an old friend who I'd originally met at an event at Unity Village years ago. And we were having dinner, catching up, and he looked at me and he said, David, you are depleted. Your batteries are dead. And you know why? Because you've been giving and giving and giving, and you have not been receiving. Well, it felt really good to be seen in this way. Rather than making me complain about it, he said, I see that, I'm telling you I see it. And it left me open and receptive to the next thing he said, which I'd like you all to take in. He said, you must take the advice of Psalm 81, verse 10. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Everything is here for you, pushing in at you, and you are not receiving because you are not opening to receive. Feel what that feels like. Ah. He then went on to say, you're not paying for a thing this weekend. I'm driving you, I'm treating you to all your meals, and I'm manning your book table. So he manned my book table. I sold twice as many books as I ordinarily sold. Because he would sit there, I was standing to the side to autograph them, and he'd give them the book, he'd take the money, and as he handed the money to me, he'd go, And I would go. And it felt so good. So at the book table back there, if when you pay me, you see me go, that's what I'm doing. I had felt that someone had seen my plight and had given me the spiritual solution. Had I said to him that I wasn't receiving, and he had said, well, open up and receive, I probably would have failed to compel him all the reasons why that wasn't possible, because the world wasn't giving it to me. But by recognizing and empathizing with it first, he gave me the chance to be connected and to open to spiritual advice. The next piece of advice he gave me was wonderful. He reminded me that the power of spirit is within me, not outside, and that even though I didn't know how it worked, it was mine to call forth at any time. He said that he had had a conversation with Jesus. Well, who hasn't? And Jesus had asked him, what do you want? And when my friend said, I want more power, Jesus said, sorry, I can't give you any more power. I have given it all to you already. The analogy that crossed my mind was this. If I gave you a tub of caviar, would you say to me, David, may I eat this caviar? It's yours. I gave it to you. Why would you ask me? If you have to ask me, it's not I who am demanding that. It's you who don't realize you have it. I'm not giving it to you as you ask. I gave it to you. Dig in. In the same way, if you think you have to have God's permission to have something, you're making it up. Spirit has already given it. So my friend went on to say, don't ask or plead with God to heal you. The healing is already in you. You're blocking it. Call it forth. Say, Spirit, heal me now. Command it. You are the authority. So that night, I put it to the test. I got into bed, and I usually have trouble falling asleep. And I said, Spirit, within my body, you know how to fall asleep. Put me to sleep now. And I fell asleep. Woo! So let's put it all put it to the test. Close your eyes for a minute and think of something you'd like to have healed in your body, in your life, whatever. Think of a quote-unquote problem you're having. Okay, everybody got one? Yeah, that's usually the easy part. Now, first, think of it with empathy. Empathy for yourself. Notice if you're judging yourself for having the problem, or for how you feel, or for not being able to overcome it. Notice if you think your problem is something to be gotten rid of, to be thrown off. Notice if you think you can't be happy or go for things you want until the problem is solved. Notice if you're judging yourself for having feelings, for being upset, for not being spiritual enough, for being less than. Often the biggest judgments toward ourselves come from ourselves. So now, you're sitting here, eyes closed, with your problem, giving yourself a break. Seeing your problem as you wish others would see it, empathizing with it by noticing and feeling everything about it just as it is. It is in your body, it is in your mind. It just is. If you have judgments, notice them, allow them, have it all. Now that your problem has been seen, heard, and felt by you with empathy, you are ready to call upon the spiritual forces within you that know, in ways that you don't know consciously, how to heal you, how to heal the problem, how to heal the physical, how to heal the emotions, the forces that know how to connect with the healing power within you, as well as how to connect with the entire universe, unconsciously, to bring on events, coincidences, information that your conscious self might not be open to. These powers have been given to you for you to use. You don't have to ask some outside force for permission. All the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the healing, all the omnipotence is already here within you. you to use, for you to call upon, for you to command. So look into yourself and say, Spirit, or whatever you call it, heal me now. And say that out loud. Ready? Spirit, heal me now. Say, I command you to heal me now. I command you to heal me now. I use my authority to call you forth.
I use my authority to call you forth.
Done. You can open your eyes. Now. Let me take a sip. As some of you may know, since I know quite a few of you, I've been having a challenge with my voice. I'm not having it right now. Yay. For years. And I've tried everything and continue to do so. So after talking with my friend, I sat down and had a written conversation with Spirit, something that Sean taught me to do. Right, hello Spirit, blah, 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 and see what Spirit writes and see what you write. And I said, Spirit within me, can you heal my vocal issues instantaneously? And Spirit answers, well, of course I can. So I said, well, then heal them now. And Spirit said, they're healed right now. And then Spirit said, here's the catch. I can only respond to what it is you're thinking at any given moment. So if you check or doubt or feel or think you're not healed, you're asking me to do that. And that will be what you see. Sort of like what Jesus said, if you want to walk on water, don't look down. Now, my favorite example of that is, I wonder if my eyes are closed. Let me check. Oh, no, I guess they're not. So, one would think that the advice would then be, okay, always think positive. Except we almost never seem to be able to do that. The whole thought exchange is based on the challenge of doing that. I say the real value in this advice that Spirit gave me is when you're seeing a problem on the outside, know it's your own thinking being reflected, not something that's attacking you. And be with that thinking. Feel whatever there is to feel connected with, and to feel that is connected with it and connect to it. Don't push it away or bury it or try to overcome it. It will just go underground and come back another way. Be with it. Use what's in front of you as you would use a mirror to constantly guide you to getting it right. Spirit ultimately heals, and I found the 12 steps, which are actually spiritual steps, can be a wonderful guide. When we first have a problem, we are in step one. Admitted we were powerless and that our lives had become unmanageable. We've tried everything we could to fix, control, bypass, and it's only through the admission that we are at our wit's end and are powerless that we leave room for Spirit to come in. This is not a step to be bypassed or gotten away from. It's a crucial step and cannot be skipped. It is the doorway to healing. So when people come to a 12-step meeting, for the first time, they find a group of empathetic, like-minded people who have been there, who understand the importance and the value of being in this painful, seemingly hopeless position, who don't fix them, don't give advice, don't resist them, just listen by sharing their own stories, letting them know they are understood and not alone. And then, understanding that there is no way for them to figure this out, someone else comes in, something else comes in, and they begin to let go to Spirit. So when any problem or upset, the complaint, can be an extremely important part of the healing process. We don't just go to the positive. We see, feel, speak about the experience of the negative, and by doing so, we are led in ways we couldn't have imagined to healing and wholeness. I heard a wonderful quote the other day that really grabbed me. A woman was talking about challenges from her childhood that kept recurring, and she said, I realized that I am mightily invested in denying my current situation. I am mightily invested in denying my current situation. When we have a childhood trauma, we often spend our lives trying to suppress it, blame it on someone, get rid of it, anything but feel it or tell the truth about it. Perhaps we don't want to feel it because we think the pain would overwhelm us as it did when we were small. Perhaps we don't want to tell the truth because we think if we acknowledge what's going on, we'll have to make choices we don't want to make. If something is repeating between me and Sean, and I pretend it's not going on, I feel suppressed. I get sick. I feel terrible. But if I think, whoa, if I tell him that, I have to leave him. No, I don't. I tell him that, and then there are solutions that I have not imagined. But what if it is the turning around and honestly feeling and facing it that in fact gives us the power and the freedom to hand it over to spirit? And by doing so, we make the choice that from the deepest level of our soul is truly the best one. And we don't know in advance what that is. We have no idea. Often we feel that if we recognize and acknowledge someone's pain or our own painful negative thoughts and sensations, or if we notice flaws or things we're dissatisfied with, we're being negative, and that negativity will cause bad things we or the other person is talking about to increase. If we can remember that what we're listening to are thoughts and sensations, not ultimate reality, we can acknowledge those thoughts and sensations without having to believe them, but also without having to negate them or bypass them. In fact, let's go a step further and make the assumption that if we're seeing these disturbing circumstances and having these thoughts and sensations, they must, like everything else in the universe, be God-given and have a purpose and a way in which they can be construed as an integral part of our healing. You know, in the Adam and Eve story, Adam and Eve are given the keys to the kingdom, as it were, and then the snake appears, apparently to tempt them and throw them off the track. In fundamentalist interpretations, the snake is often thought of as the symbol of the devil. But if God creates everything, who sent the snake? Has to be God. Has to be for good, even though we can't see what that good might be at the moment. So if all our foibles, all our troubles, all our upsets can be used for good, what is that like? What if they're not things to be bypassed and gotten rid of, but opportunities for us to see what we're thinking, to share our human experience, to love each other? The second of the two commandments is love thy neighbor as thyself. What if when we see someone in some kind of need or trouble, we first give them what we wish someone would give us were we in that kind of trouble? We see them. We feel what they're feeling. And by doing so, we let them know that they're not alone. They're not strange. They're not beyond hope and understanding. There's a wonderful Kabbalah practice called tikkun. When you have a problem, especially if it's a big problem, illness, a disaster, or whatever, stop for a moment and think about all the people in the world who have the same problem. You're not alone. They're not alone. Unlike my grandmother who, when she found out Cousin Ruthie might have cancer, she said, "Oh my God, if Cousin Ruthie has cancer, this is all I need." It's my grandmother. Happy Mother's Day. So we realize, I'm not the only person who's ever had this. Lots of people have it. Let me connect to them. We all know that in spirit we are one. However, in the illusion of the physical world, being in separate bodies, separate lives, we can forget that. Anytime we can have empathy, share what another is feeling, view it with compassion, we can reconnect with the fact that we are all one in spirit. And by doing so, we automatically are in God, which we always are anyway, we just forget. And from this position, we can take advice, take guidance on how to remember that spirit does, in fact, have all the answers. You know, every once in a while, This is true of our church in Norwalk. It's true of this church, I believe. We get someone who comes to Unity for the first time and doesn't return and reports back, everyone is too happy there. I think it's one of the most wonderful things about Unity that we are so happy and positive. But I also think what they're reacting to is they may have come here because they're feeling lost or upset. And somehow on that day, they feel that no one is mentioning what they can relate to. They feel that they're being asked to be happy or joyful, whatever. One of my favorite things Sean says is there are only two times when you have to come to church, when you want to and when you don't. So, I think it's very important that in our happiness and positivity, we leave room to allow people to be where they are. Whether that be joyful and positive, or in pain and unable for the moment to get to a place of joy. By doing that, we not only welcome them and help them and support them, but we support ourselves as well. Other people's challenges are a mirror for us. I notice that when I'm having a particular challenge, suddenly all sorts of students are coming to me with that very challenge. All sorts of things are happening that bring up that challenge. Why? Because the world and other people are a great big mirror in which we can see ourselves. And in fact, our own bodies and our own interior challenges are that same kind of mirror. So let's not cover the mirror. Let's see it. Let's see what's in it. And then, only then, can we work on those things, not in the mirror, i.e. the world or our body, but in ourselves, in who and what is in front of the mirror. And when we do this, the mirror must change. There's nothing in the mirror to begin with. If we can get this, we are on a true spiritual path that includes everything we see in the mirror of our bodies and in the mirror of the world. Everything is included as part of a complete spiritual path. This afternoon, we're going to explore that process in the Thought Exchange Workshop. How many people have done the Thought Exchange Workshop here? Okay, quite a few of you. In which we voice issues we're having, experience the sensations that come with them, take on the thoughts we wish to take on, and stay with the often uncomfortable sensations that arise when we take on the thoughts of what we really want. Again, these sensations are not bad, they're not dangerous, but rather signposts as to what we need to heal inside ourselves. When we avoid them, we never heal. We just put a band-aid on things, and those things come out elsewhere. So this afternoon, we'll be together with support, with understanding, with empathy. Join us at St. Michael's on 99th Street between Broadway and Amsterdam from 2 to 4. I'll be in the back selling books, answering any questions you might have after the service. In closing, everyone turn to a neighbor. Okay? Put your hands over your eyes. Both hands. Now, open your hands, look at them, and say, peekaboo, I see you.
Peekaboo, I see you.
There's a reason why this is one of the first games we play with children. And the reason is empathy. And so it is. Aww. Okay, if you know this old chestnut, sing along. So many things we can't control, so many hurts that happen every day, so many heartaches that pierce the soul, so much pain that won't ever go away. How do we make it better? How do we make it through? What can we do when there's nothing we can do? We can be kind. matter. We can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow. Nobody really wants to fight. Nobody really wants to go home. Everyone wants to make things right. So what are we always fighting for? Does nobody want to see it? Does nobody understand that the power to heal is right here?
I am holy, holy, holy. and let the air gently fill your lungs. And with that action, feel your heart lift. And imagine it opening wide. Here in this place of peace and calm, we are safe to open our hearts. Where we choose to suspend our judgment and expand our patience as we embrace empathy. Do you have the courage to choose empathy today? To intentionally open ourselves to the feelings of others? In this hectic city where we are surrounded by so much noise and energy, are you willing today to see beyond our differences and into our oneness for all beings? Empathy puts us in someone else's shoes for a moment, even when we don't agree with their viewpoint. Join me right now as we gather our courage and our vulnerability and choose not to shut others out. From this high perspective of oneness this morning, we seek a true understanding of the ones we love and the ones who sometimes drive us nuts. Today, as I encounter a crying toddler on the bus, open my heart to feel her discomfort first and not my own frustration. As I see a stranger shouting against the world in the subway car, help me to stop my judgment and quietly whisper, "Peace, be still." We come together this morning to stir up empathy in each of us. As our hearts stretch to experience another's pain or confusion, they are strengthened with kindness and compassion. As I choose to give all my brothers and sisters a break today, I choose to walk in kindness and hold my heart open with courage, to look into the darkest feelings of others and bear witness. Today, we choose to put aside our need to be right and instead look through your eyes for just a moment and then look through God's eyes back to you. And now, as we take a few moments in the silence, focus on your heart and the strong beat that spirit provides. Center on the timeless rhythm and turn within. How will I bless the world today with my empathy? In the silence. And as we quietly return to this sacred space this morning, help us to remember that when we choose to act with empathy, we are the answer to each other's prayers. As we hold the elevator for a mom with a stroller, when we offer our seat to another on a crowded train. And even better, when we simply pause with an open heart and silently affirm, I see you, I hear you, and I care. And so it is.